the blue cards. I hope you had a chance to, maybe grab a drink, run to the restroom or whatever. But we are going to jump straight into our blue cards. And Justin's going to kind of be taking over here. So Justin, lead us off with our first blue card.
All right. Our first guy is Bad Delver. I mean, aberrant researcher. So he is a 4-mana. You heard that right. 4-mana, 3/2 flyer. At the beginning of your upkeep, put the top card of your library into your graveyard. If it's an instant or sorcery card, transform Aberrant Researcher into perfected form, which is... I can get this thing to scroll over.
Did it?
Here we go. It is a 5/4 with flying in perfected form.
Okay, I got just that real quick. Yeah, so this... It's obviously not the original Delver. Like, the original Delver was an absolute mistake in the best way possible when it sees play in, you know, Legacy and Vintage and every other format in between. The only, like, 3/2 flyer for 4-mana, that's already a good rate. The flippability, it's a little bit harder to trigger just because you're playing a relatively lower spell count in your deck, and it has to be an instant or sorcery. That gets milled off. So you're enabling Delirium in that regard, but you're not flipping it as consistently, but you're enabling Delirium just because you're putting cards in your graveyard. So it gets a solid 2.5 for me. Good, not great.
We also don't get to play that card. And to top it off, we have no control over what's going in the graveyard.
True, yeah. So I'll still play it. It's not great, but I'm not embarrassed to play it. All right.
Okay, next up is Broken Concentration. 2 blue and 1. It's an instant. And Alex is a big fan of this card. He's given it double thumbs up.
Mind if I steal this one from you, Kyle?
That's fine with me.
This is a counter-target spell, Madness, for 3 and 1 blue. Go for it.
Why does it have Madness? I don't understand.
Well, I think this is for limited, it doesn't make sense. In standard, I guess you can tap your Jace's Vin's Prodigy and then plus one off your 4-mana counter spell. That's terrible. You're right.
I don't get it. Like, counter spells are just bad limited to begin with.
Last time it was Circular Logic, and that one was a very conditional counter spell. This is hard, so.
Yeah. I mean, but just, like, at 1 blue-blue, it's fine. It's barely playable, but why does it have Madness? Next card.
Next up is Catalog. It is 2 and a blue, instant, common. Draw 2 cards, then discard a card.
Yeah.
Kyle?
We don't typically cantrip-y cards aren't at great limited. They don't affect the board state, but we are trying to help out with Delirium. Since you get to discard a card of your choice, that can help. Helps us enable Madness. It does cost 3, so it's a little expensive. It's an instant. It's not great. You'll probably play it if you happen to get one. It's like a 20th card in your draft deck.
Yeah. Solid 2 here.
Yeah.
Next up, we've got Compelling Deterrence. 1 and a blue, instant. Return target non-land permanent to its owner's hand. Then that player discards a card if you control a zombie. Daniel.
Dylan.
The role of Dylan will be played by Daniel this hour. Compelling Deterrence, I'm actually really excited about. I mean, obviously there's going to be a blue-black zombie deck. And to return any non-land permanent, if you've got some form of being able to then pick it out of their hand and then you get a 2-for-1 or something like that, I enjoy what this card can do.
Yeah, I do want to throw out here that this actually has the potential to go 2-for-1, or actually 3-for-1 against your opponent in some cases.
Yeah.
If they go for like an aura on a creature, if you bounce the creature, you kill the aura with the zombie in play, you're making them discard a card as well. That's a cheap rate to get 3 cards out of their hand.
Right.
Just throwing that out there. Solid, almost 3 for me.
Yeah.
Okay, next up is Confirmed Suspicions. It is 3 and 2 blue. It is counter target spell, investigate 3 times.
So I actually like this card. It's a counter spell in limited, which isn't great. It's a little bit higher on the curve, so you're not having to like
disrupt your plays on the early turns like you would with Broken Concentration. And the fact that you get to investigate three times.
Yes.
Eventually, you're paying 10 mana for the full effect of this card, but that's 10 mana over the course of a couple turns. It's not great, but it's definitely got a lot of upside to it. So it's borderline three. I'd give it a solid 2.5 for sure, though.
So you'd play it?
Yeah, I'd play it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, situational upside is the hardest thing to really kind of figure out.
Yeah.
Next up, we've got Daring Sleuth flips into Bearer of Overwhelming Truths. He is 1 and a blue. When you sacrifice a clue, transform Daring Sleuth as Bearer of Overwhelming Truth. He has prowess, and he bumps up from a 2-1 to a 3-2. I actually really like this card. We talked about him last time I was on your podcast. Love his lantern. It's a fantastic little scale, you know, spider lantern thing. That thing is awesome. But, I mean, I think it's a decently solid card in Limited. We've got enough things that produce clues to be able to flip him reliably. And Prowess is a fantastic ability, especially in blue. We're not going to be running out of instances and sorceries to be playing right now.
Yeah.
Plus, he is also a form of card advantage because whenever he deals combat damage to a player, you investigate. Yes. Which is not quite the Saboteur ability, which we see in the past where you draw a card for doing it. But it's a 3-2 with prowess, and it's part of mechanics, so
yeah,
still good.
Yeah,
absolutely. Definitely not bad. Next up is Deny Existence. 2 and a blue, instant, counter-target creature spell. If that spell is countered this way, exile it instead of putting it into its owner's graveyard pile.
So, it's another counter spell in Limited. Not that great. We've seen this card before in the past. It was called Dissipate, and that could hit anything. That was a player standard. This is much worse. I can maybe give this a 2. That's kind of generous for me. I'm just not going to play this card. Yeah.
Conditional counter magic that has minor upside is not.
Yeah, if I can't counter my opponent's kill spell with my counter spell, I'm not too interested in Limited.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've got Druneu Corpse Trawler.
How do you pronounce that?
I'm going to go with Druneu.
I think last time it was Druneu.
Druneu. Anyways.
Druneu.
It's 3 and a blue. It's a zombie.
Druneu here. When... And Druneu.
All right, Alex.
Where's Drew later?
We live at that point of the night.
Drew's going to be here on Wednesday.
So when Drew enters the battlefield, you get a 2/2 black zombie creature token onto the battlefield. You can pay to give zombies death touch. That's 2 and a black. So 1/1. What do you think, Dylan?
Yeah. So Daniel's already gone for the hour. I mean, it's solid. The value you're getting for a 1/1 that can potentially kill anything if you want to put them on defense – I mean, it's solid. I like any cards that typically in a limited format let you go wider. And this card definitely lets you do that.
Yeah. There is no Dylan. There is only Zool. Right.
Damn it. Why didn't I catch that one? I missed the opportunity.
When I'm not in the driver's seat, I get to do this so much easier. All right.
So next up, Engulf the Shore, 3 and a blue. Instant, return to their owner's hands all creatures with toughness less than the number of islands you control, Alex.
So it's instant speed, which is immediately good. This is a blue minor upheaval. You've got a couple islands in play. I mean, if you've got 5, I mean, I'm not playing this in any deck that isn't base blue. Let's get that out of the way right now. But as an upheaval effect on my opponent's instep, super good. I like a card that does this.
I really like this card in conjunction with a card that we'll be talking about soon. I've talked about this card multiple times throughout the week.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Anyways.
We'll get there.
Sweet card. But moving on, Epiphany at the Drown Yard. X and blue. Reveal the top X plus 1 cards of your library and separate them into 2 piles. An opponent chooses one of those piles. Put that pile into your hand and the other in the graveyard pile.
This card has me torn. I want to like this card because it reminds me so much of Fact or fiction?
But it's not.
Unfortunately, it's actually a variant on Steam Augury, and it's just kind of odd. I feel like it's in here to try and enable Delirium.
Yeah.
But since your opponent gets to choose, if your opponent's smart, it's not going to do that, unless it's just a situation where they don't have a choice of that. It just doesn't feel good. Even in Constructed, doesn't seem that good, because why aren't you just playing Dragon Lord's Prerogative? So, yeah. I'm just going to thumbs down this card.
Yeah, it's at the rate of mana you're having to just pay to actually get into something out of this, it's not worth it anymore.
Yeah,
absolutely not.
In a limited kind of application, absolutely. I see this being a lot better than a 2 in Constructed, personally.
Maybe. Moving on to the Urdwall Illuminator. It's one in a blue. It's got flying. Whenever you investigate for the first time each turn, investigate an additional time. Power and toughness is 1 and 3. I like this card. I'm a big fan of the investigate mechanic. I'm hoping to see it further supported in Shadows, but until then, we do have some interesting uses with it, with some cards that allow us to give us additional benefits. And, you know, drawing a card is always pretty sweet. Any other thoughts on it?
Meh.
Meh, moving
on. It's a body that gives you marginal upside, so meh. It's kind of like Augur of Bolas.
Yeah.
And this one flies. Okay, it's actually pretty good. Yep. I give it a 3. Okay, that's pretty good.
Like I said, I like it. Moving on to Essence Flux. It is a blue. Exile, and it's an instant. To exile target creature you control, then return that card to the battlefield under its owner's control. If it's a spirit, put a +1/+1 counter on it.
Don't do this to your tokens.
But then my 1/1's a 2/2, right?
No, because the token dies.
But it needs to hit a spirit.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah, it's it's a sweet combat trick.
The sad thing is, I'm sure that on release night, I'm going to see a new player do it to their token.
I'm gonna release so hard.
I really hope. And just I thought this was the next card. Never mind. I was making a joke about releasing their essence. Literally releasing their essence.
Yeah. Okay, that's a strike.
Yeah, I'll take that one. It's a decent trick. I mean, blanks removal. It gives the creature a little bit bigger. I mean, effects. This is up there with I'm blanking on the card from Modern Masters. It was the 1 and a white. Did the exact same thing, but the +1/+1 counter was always coming on it.
Otherworldly Journey.
Yeah. It's a lot like that, and it's, you know, in blue. So, blue sweet. Cool.
Okay, so Fleeting Memories enchantment. When fleeting Memories enters the battlefield, investigate. Whenever you sacrifice a clue, target player puts the top 3 cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard.
And the spacing on this thing's so goofy.
This card could be a Delirium Enabler in blue, so not bad, but not great by any means. I think I'd agree with the score that you wrote down here is 2.25. Anyone else want to say anything about it, or do we want to move on?
This really makes me want to have clues, like the sacrifice and be only 1 mana. Like I want that so badly.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Yeah, this is a decent way. I mean, if you have like the investigate deck, this is not a terrible way to like mill somebody out fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. It's not terrible. Yeah, pretty good.
So Forgotten Creation, this guy's pretty sweet. He costs 3 and a blue. He is creature with skulk. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may discard all the cards in your hand. If you do, draw that many cards. He's a 3/3 body. And Alex is doing the little dance over here. He's very excited.
This card is nuts!
And I think you're right.
It's the body is good. The ability is absurd. Skulk is already good enough. But just the ability to just madness yourself on their instep.
Yeah.
And then draw. I mean, this is a windfall effect.
It's actually at the beginning of your upkeep.
Yeah, beginning of your upkeep.
Keep you made it scared. Oh, okay, whatever. So it's a source. It's a Wheel of Fortune. It's Horseshoe Pain. Who cares?
Basically,
this card's awesome.
I envision it in situations where basically you're playing late game. You have 2 to 3 cards in your hand. Yeah, and getting Delirium actually active is very relevant.
Yeah, card is
bonkers.
Super good.
Super good. So moving on to Furtive Homunculus. One and a blue. It's got Sculpt. He's a 2 and a 1. He's okay. Anyone else have anything to say about him?
On curve, that's it.
He's a 2-power Kaiwas of Invasion. Cool.
He's just okay.
Okay, so Garof's Masterpiece. Three and a blue.
That noise about says it all for this card.
He's got flying. But Garof's Masterpiece gets -1/-1 for each card in your hand in blue. That sounds pretty good, right? Oh, no. No, it doesn't.
This ain't no Death Shadow.
So 3 and a blue, discard 3 cards, return Garof's Masterpiece from your graveyard to the battlefield tapped. With a body of 7/7, that's never going to be 7/7 in blue.
No. So...
good.
Go ahead, Dylan, because I just want to tear this card a new one. It's so bad.
I can't say it's so bad, personally speaking. It just does what blue normally doesn't do. And as a zombie horror, it's going to be more the top end of that kind of deck design. I put this more of into a black shell. But that's when I start looking at the 3 blue-blue for the casting cost. I'm wondering, is this going to be discard early on? And you discard 3 cards, activating its ability to bring it back from the graveyard to the battlefield. I mean, is that going to be where the main thing is going to be that this guy gets played? And that's where I kind of see it happening more often.
Yeah, it's too much disadvantage for not enough advantage, I think. Because you might get to a position where, like, you at the end of your turn, you discard your entire hand, you pay the mana, bring it back. Maybe you've got enough mana to trigger some madness to bring some other creatures into play. And you untap, and you get to try and swing, and your opponent has like the bounce spell for this thing, and you have just wasted so many cards. Like, there's the disaster potential for this thing to go wrong is so high.
Typically, I would say you're absolutely right, but going back to the days of Torment Block and playing with Madness originally, not only was there a benefit of putting cards from your hand to your graveyard with Madness itself, but there was a lot of times where having it, you wanted it to go to the graveyard. Now we're having that even more so with Delirium, and this fits the I want this into the graveyard type scenarios.
Yeah, I can see that.
So with that, I mean, a 7/7 late game, you're discarding cards, there's a very easy chance that this is going to be consistently a 5/5 or a 6/6 for 3 mana, or 4 mana.
I still don't like it.
I know you don't. But the application is going to be a little bit more clear once we have actually have a lot more play with this set.
Yeah, I can see that.
Okay, so moving on to Ghostly Wings. It is 1 and a blue enchantment aura. Enchant target creature. Enchanted creature gets +1/+1 and has flying. Discard a card. Return enchanted creature to its owner's hand. So, Alex the Angel, tell us all about it.
Okay, so this card is...
I believe I can fly.
Yeah, you're going to wish you could after you play this card. That doesn't make any sense. Because this card doesn't make any sense because it's weird. So, this is actually a very kind of... not obvious Delirium enabler. So obviously it gives it flying, gives it +1/+1. You can save itself from removal spells. Like if it's getting too many hits in there, that's it's going to happen. But as soon as you return it to your hand, so first you're just cutting a card to Delirium. You're returning the creature from your grave play to your hand. The enchantment then goes to the graveyard as well. You're kind of 2-for-1 in yourself here, but this is a pretty decent way to enable Delirium, and it's a cheap way to do it, too. So
you can also just use it to bounce their creatures.
I mean, yeah.
But that's a 2-card
trick. That's a lot of mana to do that.
I'm not saying it's not a lot of mana, but if they get out a giant bomb and you've got no other options... Yeah, no.
Scoop. Yeah.
All else fails.
Yeah, I'm not going to play this card very often, but it has some cool synergy. Yeah, solid 2.
I'd agree. Yeah. So, Gone Missing. 4 and a blue, sorcery, put target permanent on top of its owner's library and investigate. Kyle.
So what I'm seeing here is that on the play, on turn 5, I can put my opponent back to three lands on their fifth turn, and I get a clue token. I like the card. Moving on.
Yeah. it's a little expensive, but it's a hell of a time walk for your opponent. Not bad.
Plus, it just also answers actual problem permanents.
Yeah.
So I think it's good. Is it expensive at five? Yes, but I think it's good.
Yeah.
I'd agree. Moving on to Invasive Surgery. It's an instant counter-target sorcery spell. Delirium, if there are four or more card types among cards in your graveyard, search the graveyard, hand, and library of that spell's controller for any number of cards with the same name as its spell. Exile those cards. Then that player shuffles his or her library. So, in limited, bad.
Do not touch us in limited.
However, I think this card has sideboard modern potential.
I want every single foil.
Is a sorcery.
I'm just going to Crypto Command it every single. They're not getting through my counter magic if they're trying to scape shift. And if I'm playing blue and I'm trying to counter their scape shifts, this isn't how I'm doing it.
Fair enough. Anyone else have any opinions on this card?
I want every single foil copy of this card I find.
Tell us more about that.
I mean, just this reminds me of the days of the Nemo Mongoose decks and Legacy, for example. Rug or bug examples. And this does everything that that deck wants to do at one mana. It wants to be like, you know, nice reanimation spell. Just no. It's just the card's bonkers. In a constructed way. Limited, obviously, there's very, very, very few applications for this card.
Okay. Sure.
You build it, we'll play it, bro.
Yeah. All right.
I do.
Against it. Like,
all right. Well, next card.
We've got Jace, Unraveler of Secrets. 3/2 blue. He's got a few pretty neat abilities. +1, scry one, then draw a card. Love it. -2, return target creature to its owner's hand. -8, you get an emblem with whenever an opponent casts his or her first spell each turn, counter that spell. We'll give it to Dylan.
Not sure, though.
I'm choking over here. Go ahead.
It's another Jace. It's a 5-mana Jace. The previous 5-mana Jaces were the Living Guild pack, which was unplayable. Pretty Adept, which was pretty darn good. But this one could be the best 5-mana Jace. I'd be willing to go as far as saying this is the third best Jace ever, behind Mind Sculptor and Prince Prodigy. The +1, it's better than draw a card. The -2 can be repeated twice. It starts at 5 loyalty. That's two creatures that's going to bounce. And the ultimate ability, which, you know, you can't touch a Planeswalker on, your opponent's going to have to bait every turn with a crap spell into a better spell. It ends the game immediately. Jace is awesome. Draft it, play it, win it.
This feels like Liliana to me. There's going to be at least one turn you're going to +1 it. There might be 2 to 3 turns you're going to -2 it. It's just a very potent, powerful card. And Liliana was kind of misinterpreted for a little while. And her ability, and she's obviously been such a mainstay now.
Yeah, Liliana of the Veil, right?
Yeah, of the Veil, sorry.
This makes sense. On the right one.
Yeah, the Scry one, though, just it harkens back to Mind Sculptor, just without four abilities.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Card is bonkers good.
Yeah.
Fan.
Yeah.
Moving on, though, to Jace's Scrutiny. One in a blue instant target creature gets -4/-0 until end of turn and investigate. Kyle.
So it's an instant, so we can already give it like it makes cards better. Being an instant makes a card better. We've seen this kind of ability before. It's actually never that good. Investigate gives it a little, almost turns it into a cantrip, but not really. We'd really just prefer this was sensory in the same spot, rather just be sensory deprivation from the previous set, where it was where that was an enchantment, so it gave the minus constantly. At right now, I don't think you'd play this. I don't think you would draft this. It's going to go really late because it should.
Yeah.
Just the Wind, one in a blue instant. Return target creature to its owner's hand, madness, one blue.
You guys hear that? It's Just the Wind.
The winds are changing, blowing.
So, all we are is just in the wind.
So, Just the Wind, it's not bad, especially if you can cast it for its madness cost. Otherwise, it's kind of eh. Any other thoughts on it?
It's a bounce spell. It's cheap. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
High three for me.
Yeah.
Lamplighter of Selhoff. Four to blue creature. When Lamplighter of Selhoff enters the battlefield, if you control another zombie, you may draw a card. If you do, discard a card. 3/5 power toughness. Dylan.
I don't think it's going to be fitting necessarily what all the zombies want to do. I mean, the toughness, the cast of cost is all very, really good for limited. I give it kind of a 2.5, 3, somewhere in there.
Definitely.
I don't know, the card advantage, the enabler of Delirium late game, that makes it a little bit more of a push to 3 than just straight 2.5.
Yep. My only question is, why are they letting a zombie horror be the lamplighter? That seems
bad business.
This is also the same guy that called Geralt's Masterpiece Geralt's Masterpiece, so decision making isn't this guy's strong suit.
Oh, that's fair.
So, Manic Scribe. One in a blue, it's creature, human, wizard. When Manic Scribe enters the battlefield, each opponent puts the top 3 cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard. Delirium. At the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, if there are 4 or more card types among blah, 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 blah.
Thank you.
Milligan.
For 3 more cards.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's a 0/3. Kyle.
Okay. So if you play this card down, it's a 2-drop. If you play it down early, you're going to be disappointed. It could theoretically help enable your Delirium, blah, 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 blah. It's random. It's 3 cards. Because you can... No, you can't. You can't do it to yourself. You're just going to actually help your opponent out if you do it early game.
Exactly.
If you already have Delirium out, and if you didn't just accelerate into it, the game's probably gone for a while, and your opponent has drawn some cards. If you already have it set up, then before your opponent taps, your opponent's going to mill 6, because they're going to mill 3, and then on their upkeep, they're going to mill 3 more. Your opponent's
No, it's only one time.
No, it says whenever it enters the battlefield, they mill 3. Yeah. And then if you have Delirium at their upkeep, they're going to mill 3 more.
It's a 6 shot in one turn.
In one turn.
I got you.
So that's not bad if you're going. Not bad. And if they don't, deal with it again, now they've milled 9 cards. This is so. If you can get this into the late game, it's possible this could just end the game.
Yeah.
So it's decent. It can technically be a win con. Is it a fragile win con? Yes. Is it? But it's in blue, so you have ways to if you really want to, defend it, bounce back to your hand, counter their kill spell or whatever. And blue's good at clogging the board up sometimes with all these high toughness creatures that don't attack anyway.
Yeah, it's not dying in combat. I don't necessarily use a combat trick on the early game. This is going to block everything. We've seen some everything in height. This sits there and just takes all of it.
It's not bad.
Yeah. I'm just worried that it's like you said. It's too easy to enable your opponent's Delirium with it.
Yeah,
I just like the fact I'm actually really happy this thing is that uncommon, because if it was a common,
common,
that could be rough.
This thing gets real scary. Yeah.
Yeah.
Completely agree.
Okay, so Nagging Thoughts. One of the blue is a sorcery. Look at the top 2 cards of your library. Put one of them into your hand and the other into your graveyard. Madness. One of the blue.
Don't play this card. Just don't play this card.
there's absolutely other things you can be doing. I don't think as far as not only a madness enabler, but also a delirium enabler, it's just not really going to be accomplishing much.
Yep. It's a meh.
Next.
Well, okay. I agree that it's not a fantastic card.
Moving on then.
Oh, I would say though, but Sleight of Hand is a card at blue and one. And Sleight of Hand puts the other card on the bottom of your deck.
Sleight of Hand costs.
Sleight of Hand's one blue.
Yes, but this costs 2 and can be madness. I'm saying it's not utter trash.
It's not the bottom of the barrel, but it's close enough.
No, I'm saying it's playable.
I think Kyle has a case of madness going on here. Next.
All right. So, Nymphalia Moondrakes, 5 blue-blue creature, flying. When Nymphalia Moondrakes enters the battlefield, target creature gains flying until end of turn. And for 4 and a blue-blue, exile Nymphalia Moondrakes from your graveyard. Creatures you control gain flying until end of turn. It's a 5/5. Alex, you look really entertained. Tell us about this card.
It's a bunch of flying moon snakes.
I'm getting tired of these drakes on this moon plane.
All kidding aside, though, this card is really absurd. I originally didn't think that you had to exile it from play to get the extra ability.
From your graveyard.
When I realized it's from graveyard, this thing is going to kill somebody in one shot. Like, if they take care of this thing and they don't have enough flyers on the next turn, I'm going to pay some mana and kill you one shot. I like the flying moon snakes.
So do you think this is a better card just to, like, just discard it and not even bother to casting it? Because it feels like it's better just as an uncountable kill you with the ability.
I mean, it's kind of like you look at that from, like, the perspective of, like, Jeskai or Flying Crane Technique. But the fact that it's a body that's so big, I'm fine casting this. Okay. Like a 5/5 for 7 is still a good rate. I mean, it's a little high cost, so that's still a good rate, though. And this is in blue, especially. You don't get a whole lot of dragons in blue like this, so.
Even at 7, though, that's a lot of mana.
That is a lot of mana, but draft it, play it, win it.
Okay.
It's been my motto this whole time.
All right, up next.
Just win, baby.
Nibbless of Dusk. 2 and a blue. Creature flying in prowess, also known as Sad Storm Chaser. Yeah. Tell us about it, Kyle.
It's like, not Dylan.
It's strictly playable. It's a wind drake. It's a wind drake with upside. It has one less toughness. Yeah. But it does not really matter that it has one toughness versus 2 when you're talking about a wind drake. Prowess is a nice upside. You'll play it.
Yeah, card's fine.
It's fine.
It's all 2.5. All
right. Ongoing Investigation. 1 and a blue enchantment. Whenever one or more creatures you control deal combat damage to a player, investigate. 1 and a green. Exile a creature card from your graveyard. Investigate. You gain 2 life. I like this card. Every time I hit someone, I get a potential cantrip later on. That's pretty great. Keep my hand full. I'm a blue player, so I always like that. And then the being able to throw things away from the graveyard to continue that train of thought and get a little higher up in life gain. You were talking about earlier with the whole playing draft around the idea of using some incidental life gain to get just above a lot of people's ability to just push that 20 damage through.
Yeah, that's out of reach, sure.
Any other thoughts?
It's strange that the only enemy-paired enchantments are these enchantments. And they're the only indicator that there's actually any kind of enemy-colored pairing going on here. We see that because we have an enemy-colored cycle of dual lands in this set as well. It's just kind of weird.
Only payoff.
It's the only push they're showing you to go into an enemy color pair, unlike original or Innistrad draft where the enemy colored pairs were the payoff.
Right.
Like you wanted to go into black white spirits. You had lingering souls and you had red white humans and blue green self mill. It's something weird to kind of notice, but different set, different context. But it's cool though.
I think we're going to see a lot more of that coming up in Eldritch Moon. I know that I hate initial sets only because of the fact that you don't see the complete picture painted yet. Sure. And I think there's going to be the storyline feels like there's a change happening and it's going to return to the Innistrad of before or, if Emrakul, cross our fingers.
Don't say it.
If Emrakul, cross our fingers, is there, we have some warp in whatever's going on Innistrad, because the imagery they're having with the symbol itself warping, I think is going to have a lot to do with it. So,
well, also speaking of story stuff, the Paranoid Parish Blade He's got a little tentacle coming out of his arm right over there. I mean, that looks a little Eldrazi to me.
It's not Eldrazi. Moving on.
Someone's had this conversation before.
I hate that theory so much.
I mean, they come in three.
Let's find some pieces of the puzzle, guys.
All the clues say they come in three.
Two and a blue. Sorcery. Reveal the top five cards of your library. Put up to two instant or sorcery cards from among them into your hand and the rest into your graveyard. Kyle.
This card's crap.
Yeah. You're not playing enough instants and sorceries in your deck to make this thing worth it.
You're not playing enough instants and sorceries in your deck and constructed to make this worth it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if anyone's played Coco. Surely people play Coco that listen to this podcast. You don't always hit two creatures with Coco.
No.
That's six cards, and it's easier to make a deck full of creatures than it is to make a deck just with instants and sorceries that still does something. This card's bad.
The only thing I can say that would save this card would be Inconstructed in some kind of blue-based control deck that wants to find cards, and maybe it misses. Sure, why not? Whatever, it happens. But at the same time, if there is this maybe blue-black reanimator deck where it's like, oh, great, I found the reanimation spell, and there's the creature that goes in the graveyard, there's a minor upside to this card, but touch this unlimited, and you're going to have a bad time.
Yeah.
So we're going to pour over some pages with pour over pages. Three and two blue. Sorcery, draw three cards, untap two lands, then discard a card. Alex.
So typically draw spells like this are not good and limited. But this does a lot. Like, it's essentially opportunity, but not – oh, it's close to that, I should say. You draw the three cards, which is great. The untapping of two lands – that's a mechanic that got Wizards in a lot of trouble back in the day. They had to ban cards that said untap, you know, up to seven lands. You know, we remember Time Spiral, untap all your lands. That mechanic's already dangerous enough. So essentially, you're paying three mana to draw three and then discard a card. That's divination with a minor downside, but you're enabling Delirium, enabling Madness. This isn't bad.
See, I actually do not like this card. I don't like this card because of the fact that while it feels like divination once you untap your two lands, it still does cost five mana. And I like my divination typically, and maybe this is more of a constructed thing, but divination's, in my opinion, best function is to find my lands, get past three mana.
That's very true. I agree with that completely. But I wouldn't play this in constructed or limited play at least, but it's not bad though.
It is a powerful effect.
You know, we go back to, what is it called? Epiphany of the Drown Yard and this, like, those are both, they're both enough like old cards that were just dangerous enough that it makes me think that these are just dangerous enough to be worth considering. And that's
Factor
all.
Factor Fiction defined the format.
Yeah.
I mean, hands down. And while having to force this in around five mana, I mean, there's just no other way unless you get some really good artifact mana. I just, I mean, it does feel a little forced, but it's such a powerful effect to be drawing three cards for three mana.
Yeah. Pretty good.
All right, so press for answers. One in a blue, sorcery. Tap target creature it doesn't untap until during its controller's next uptap step. Investigate Dylan.
I'm sorry, I lost where we're at again.
Press for answers.
Thank you, okay. I mean, as a common, as what it does and what it wants to do, it's right in that range. It's pretty vanilla. I like it. It brings in the investigate mechanic. I think two to draw a card is very expensive, but I mean, can you really do it at one? I don't think so.
Yeah, because that turns it into Encase in Ice or Clutch of Currents, whatever it was. It was from Battle for Zendikar Block, which was one of the best blue commons in the set.
Yeah,
so this is pretty close with some upside, so it's definitely playable for me. Definitely,
yeah,
absolutely.
At the least, it's a 2.5.
Okay, so coming up, we've got Rattle Chains. He is one in a blue. Creature, spirit, flash, and flying. When Rattle Chains enters the battlefield, target spirit gains hexproof until end of turn. You may cast spirit spells as though they had flash, 2/1 body. I love this card. It is fantastic. I casually toying around with the idea of playing this like end of turn, opponent's turn two, then end of opponent's turn three. If there hasn't been something that I've just absolutely needed to deal with, I throw a Geist at the end of turn three.
Yeah,
I think that's pretty sweet. But back on limited, I mean, if you know, being able to flash into 2/1 body that gives hexproof is pretty sweet. And then if we're in spirits, we can now do that with all of them. That's awesome.
Yeah, this is the one that combos with the white spirit. That's why that allows you to bounce your spirits back to your hand. So having the two of these in play creates a very kind of cool looping effect where you're just constantly replaying the spirits and bouncing back to your hand. Like, I'm not going to say that white one's constructed playable, but this one gives it a shot.
You know? And that's really hard to beat in limited.
Yeah.
Removal doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, removal is king. That's like, this thing starts to mess up your opponents and make them very, very, very unhappy.
So Reckless Scholar, 2 and a blue, creature, human wizard. It can tap itself to have target player draw a card, then discard a card, 2/1 body. Thoughts? Kyle.
Okay, Merfolk Looter's a good card.
Yeah.
this.
Thank you, Jace.
This costs an extra mana, but gets an extra power. 2/1s are more relevant than 1/1s. I think it's a good card. Play it. This doesn't force you into blue in any way, but you'll be happy to see it in your pack, and you'll pick it pretty high.
Yeah, you guys remember Scryfish?
Yeah.
That's essentially what this is.
It's a better version.
This is the Scryfish of this set. This card is nuts. Kill this on sight or you will lose. Guarantee it.
Fantastic Delirium and Madness Enabler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Okay, so moving on. We've got Rise from the Tides. 5 and a blue sorcery. Put a 2/2 black zombie creature token onto the battlefield tapped for each instant and sorcery card in your graveyard, Alex.
I wish this card was better. So it's barely playable as it is because of unlimited applications. It's barely playable. So it gets a 2 for me. There is a world where I can see this being a finisher in a control deck where the board is, you know, you've exhausted resources. You draw this. You're like, oh, look at all those instant sorcerers in my graveyard. I'm going to make 13 zombies for 6 mana. That's a good rate right there. There just aren't enough spells in your deck to make this good enough unlimited. Maybe, but you've got to stretch it. Like, I would say your threshold is 4, and you're getting somewhere.
Oh, I just wanted to say, going back to Reckless Scholar, I just thought about it. This will never happen, but it would be really cool if someone does actually deck out their opponent. But since it says target player, if you make your opponent draw their last card...
Oh yeah,
that's pretty sweet.
Oh yeah, I mean we've already seen enough incidental mill effects in the set, so I mean, sure.
And you know, and the guy earlier that was Delirium to their upkeep. Yeah.
Not terrible.
Okay, so we've got Seagraf Scab, 1 and a blue creature zombie, 1/3.
Don't play this trash. It passes vanilla test, but it's not worth it.
Where's my giant crab?
Yeah, so basically.
Silverlind Snapper, 5 and a blue creature. He's a turtle, guys. Can't attack unless you cast non-creature spell this turn. It's a 6/6.
I didn't know this card existed until I was doing this review.
I mean, he definitely fits the flavor of a turtle. He's useless unless you do something because he's slow.
Hey, the meandering turtle. The turtles from Konsbach were awesome.
Sure.
Dirtle Turtle? I mean, this has to have this drawback because it's a common.
Absolutely.
But it's a huge body that they just can't attack through. I mean, I still wouldn't play it. It's a 2 for me.
Yeah,
I wouldn't play this
card. He doesn't even have to attack through time.
No, he can't attack through time. No. Don't play this card.
This actually, though, illustrates one thing that I'm noticing as a trend on how each color really kind of pushes 3 different, I want to say, themes. There's going to be decks that are going to be built around, you know, non-creature spells. There's going to be decks that are going to be built around zombies. There's going to be decks built around, you know, delirium or milling. And how all this comes together to form this draft format is going to really be telltale.
Yeah. I don't know what a Silverlind is, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
I think Silverlind is a location, and it's a snapper.
I'm just really excited to take a look at actually what the archetypes end up being at the end.
Yeah, that's going to be something we have to look at real closely after we're all said and done.
So, yeah. Moving on, we've got the Silent Observer. Sounds a little pervy. Three and a blue, Stranger Spirit.
Stranger five, Danger.
One five. Very peeping Tom. It's got a spirit. Nice fat butt. Anyone have any opinions on this card?
Barely playable.
It's kind of lame.
Decent. Yes. In a relatively controlling deck.
You'd rather have a Windrake.
I don't know. Yeah, I'd rather have a Windrake, yeah. That's fair.
I mean, there's not going to be many times I want to play a 1-5 in defense mode, you know, for 3 and a blue. I'm going to want at least 2 power on that.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Sleep Paralysis, 3 and a blue, enchantment aura, enchant creature. When Sleep Paralysis enters the battlefield, tap an enchanted creature. Enchanted creature doesn't untap during its controller's untap step. Thoughts, Alex?
This is an expensive version of this card, but a lot of times, it's been rare that we've actually seen this enchantment that has the tap clause in it. A lot of times it's just target creature does not untap during its controller's untap step, so it's basically forcing them to never attack again. But the fact that this taps it, and it's a little on the expensive side, I'm gonna play this still. This is decent blue removal. I'm not embarrassed to play this card. 2.5 for sure.
Yeah. So, big fan of this next card, Startled Awake and Persistent Nightmare. 2 blue-blue. Sorcery, target opponent puts the top 13 cards from his or her library into his or her graveyard. 3 blue-blue, put Startled Awake from your graveyard onto the battlefield transformed. Activate this ability only anytime you can cast a sorcery. As a creature, it has Skulk and is a 1-1. When Persistent Nightmare deals combat damage to a player, return it to its owner's hand. This thing is bonkers. But I want to hear Dylan's thoughts on this thing.
I love the flavor, the artwork on the card, how it transforms, how it comes back into play, how it casts a sorcery. I mean, the cast cost is great. I really dig this card, even in a limited format or constructed format. It's an insanely interesting card.
Yeah. Absolutely. It is just probably one of the most unique cards in the set, and I hope that they continue the trend of just finding new territory like they have with this one.
Yeah.
Anyone else have anything they want to say about this card? I know you were dancing up and down a little bit.
Find a way to exile this thing or you're going to die. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
If you can't permanently get rid of this thing, you're going to lose to this card eventually. Ticking time bomb.
It wins limited games. 13 is too many.
Yep.
Next. Okay. We've got the Stitched Mangler. 2 and a blue. He's a zombie horror. Stitched Mangler enters the battlefield tapped. When Stitched Mangler enters the battlefield, tap target creature an opponent controls. That creature doesn't untap during its controller's next untap step. 2/3 body. Thoughts, Kyle?
This card's good. This card reminds me of the past zombies. There's a past zombie that basically the same thing here, but it came into play tapped as well. But it was just that. This is just very, very good. 3 mana, 2/3 is, that's on rate, I guess. But this thing, it does answer your opponent's creatures for a little while. It's a decent tempo play. It's just good. You're going to play it. It's a solid 3.
Yep.
If I'm in the zombie archetype, I'm going to want this common pretty high up for a common. I mean, this could be as high as, you know, 3rd or 4th pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very good card.
So next we've got the Stitch Wing Scab. 3 and a blue. Zombie horror. Flying, 1 and a blue. Discard 2 cards. Return Stitch Wing Scab from your graveyard to the battlefield tapped. 3/1 body. Any thoughts from anyone?
I think this kind of goes back to Giraffe's masterpiece earlier on. It's kind of in that same kind of vein. It really very much wants to be the zombie deck, the zombie flyer. If you discard it early on to either Madness or Delirium, you want to activate Delirium later on. If you did discard it, whatever you want to do, you want to get it reused, you know, to be a blocker, or you want to be your 3 damage coming in. It's what you want to be doing in the zombie deck.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's instant speed too to be able to pseudo reanimate itself. So it's pretty good that regard.
I think this one's better than the Masterwork. Even though it's a, even though it's a, I mean, it's much smaller 3/1 flyer, but 3/1 flyer doesn't even scoff at. And since you're only discarding two cards, since you're also getting the card back, you're only minus one-ing yourself to bring this thing back.
Yeah.
So I think it's actually very solid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next up, we've got the Storm Strider Spirit. 4 and a blue. Creature Spirit, Flying Flash, 3/3 thoughts, Kyle.
5 mana for a 3/3 flyer is good. It has flash, so it can eat something. It's, and it's common, so you're gonna see it. So it's good.
It's even better than
you can try to get two. You can easily get. I'm gonna say easily. You have a good chance of getting two of these in your draft deck.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Definitely in your sealed pool.
Yeah.
I kind of feel bad that it's a spirit. I wish it was kind of something else, just because there's already another card that already gives spirits flash.
Yeah, I could see that.
So
a flash.
This next.
That's my theme song.
Anyway, think of the ice.
So yeah, next card up. This is probably my favorite card in the set, actually. Thing in the Ice / Awoken Horror, 1 and a blue, creature horror and defender. Thing in the Ice enters the battlefield with 4 ice counters on it. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, remove an ice counter from Thing in the Ice. Then, if it has no ice counters on it, transform it. When this creature transforms into Awoken Horror, return all non-horror creatures to their hands. Before flipping, it's a 0/4. After it flips, it is a 7/8. This thing is amazing. This thing is going to see play in Modern. This thing is going to win you limited games. I love it.
I feel like they're really kind of nailing it on some of the rares and mythics. I mean, not only in theme, not only in, you know, flavor or whatnot, but if you pull this card, there's going to be enough supporting cast in the archetype to really form a solid strategy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, this thing just has a – it's the only card in this set that has just a wild amount of variance depending on what format you're in. It's a little bit worse than limited because you cannot control the number of spells you have in your pool. And you might not have enough spells to really pull this thing off reliably. And nobody's playing a 0/4 defender because no one's playing a 0/4 defender. If you first pick this in draft, though, its stock becomes much, much higher. And Modern, this thing gets absolutely absurd. And Standard, this thing is still good. There's talk of this thing in Legacy. I mean, this thing has the most potential to do something really, really cool.
I want this card more often outside of Innistrad because there's so many horrors in this set.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just, there's going to be some times where you can really craft it, and other times you're like, well, they got all horrors. Crap.
Yeah. But yeah.
Okay, so next up we've got the Trail of Evidence. 2 and a blue enchantment. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, investigate. Alex.
Why do I get the boring cards?
I don't know.
You're the one that puts
it
in half.
I didn't give you any boring cards. So this has, I wouldn't play this in my sealed deck. That's for sure. I give it a 2.5, simply because you have the ability to really do something kind of stupid with it if you draft around, kind of like the Burning Vengeance deck from original Innistrad, where you could get really nuts with your flashback cards. This, if there is this kind of slow, dirtily investigate deck where you're balancing and tapping creatures and just gaining all of the criminal card advantage, you know, with these clue tokens you're making, I can see this doing something kind of powerful. I mean, it's just not something that I'm actively wanting to try to build around in limited, but drafts, I could see this getting there possibly.
All right. Next up, we've got the Uninvited Guest, the Unimpeded Trespasser. Better hide your kids, you better hide your wife. So, we've
you're
got
skulking.
A creature.
That's another
spirit.
Strike.
with Skulk, when an uninvited guest deals combat damage to a player, transform it. Once it's Unimpeded Trespasser, it can't be blocked. Before flipping, it's a 2/2. After flipping, it's a 3/3. Thoughts, Kyle?
3-mana 2/2s. You don't really like those. So right there, that fails. But it has Skulk, so I mean, that Skulk's kind of a weird is actually kind of a weird evasive ability.
It's perfect.
It's a really weird evasive ability. I mean, like, since it's based completely on power, am I correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But
there's
it also depends on
power
where...
guys in this format.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But it's better than just a vanilla 3-mana 2/2. It transforms when it damages someone and it becomes a 3/3 that can't block. So that's definitely something that's worth trying to flip. I think if you pull it off, it's really good.
Yeah. The cool thing, and this is something I just kind of realized about this one, a 3-mana 2-2 is already kind of behind curve. A little bit. And so the things that your opponent is already playing are already bigger than this guy. So you're able to skulk past them automatically. I would be willing to bet.
I think only if your opponent's playing green.
It's possible. I mean, there are some cards that this is obviously going to get blocked by. But
I think a lot of the vamps also have 3 power, if I remember correctly.
Well, by itself, it's behind the curve at a 3-mana 2-2. So this is going to get through, and as soon as this is flipped over, you've got a clock going that your opponent needs to respect. And they need to kill this thing very quickly if they don't want it to have happen to them.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah.
Okay, next up we've got the Vessel of Paramnesia. It's a 1-blue enchantment. You can pay 1 blue to sacrifice the vessel to target player, puts the top 3 cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard, draw a card. Dylan.
All the vessels seem extremely solid. When I saw them spoiled, I really dig the flavor, and we've already said a lot of this on the last vessel that we did about how it fits into the cycle and really making sure that you have Delirium activated and whatnot. Blue is going to be more milling this time around as one of the sub-themes, and this fits right into it knowing that, but it cycles. Draft playable? I don't know. I think it might be your 41st card at best. I don't know.
Well, it's one of the few blue enchantments that are actually worth it.
So yeah, there's not many.
So,
are y'all thinking? I'm thinking whenever you act this ability, unless it's just actually going to mill your point out, you always target yourself, right? Because you get yourself your enchantment.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
And then you potentially get more for Delirium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll make sure we're all on the same page.
Yeah. It's the classic trap of, you know, when a card says mill target opponent, things like Thought Scour. The first time you mill yourself and you really see the power of that card, then the light kind of turns on. And I think this is very much in that vein.
I agree. And you can do it at any point in time.
So it's all a 2.5. Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah.
So
in the right deck.
Next up, final card in blue for the set. Welcome to the Fold 2.
One of us. Sorcery. One of us. One of us.
Wibble wobble. One of us.
So Madness X blue. Gain control of target creature if its toughness is 2 or less. If Welcome to the Fold's Madness cost was paid, instead gain control of that creature if its toughness is X or less, Alex.
All right, so what was the rare from the Mono Blue Devotion deck that was 2 blue-blue that took control of target creature? Was that also...
Exert Influence?
Not Exert Influence, but...
Domestication. Was
Domestication.
One
that also only hit things with... Or it was its power and toughness that it mattered on, so...
It was power 3 or less, I believe.
Yes, and that was a permanent steal. If it was over, it would still be able to sacrifice itself. So, being 4 mana, stealing something this weak is kind of iffy. Although, if you have some way to enable Madness on your opponent's turn and they drop some big fatty and you just go, hold on, bro. I'm going to pay 8 mana.
Yeah.
I'm going to take your... it's toughness of 6 or less.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
things
I'm loving
little goofy
this,
with
card.
This card. At instant speed, this card gets to do some stupid things. As there are definitely some cards that have, you know, the mismatch power and toughness effect going on, especially in whites, and we'll see a little bit more in the other colors. This can do some dumb stuff. It's pretty
cool. I mean, not to spoiler alert the listeners or anything like that, but I mean, I'm just not seeing a ton of Madness enablers. So that is concerning.
We haven't gotten to black yet.
Well, true. again, spoiler alert, right?
Yeah.
But I'm loving Welcome to the Fold.
Yeah. And the art is super creepy, too. It's like this guy just kind of like caressing him in a very kind of creepy way.
So Stranger Danger the card.
Stranger Danger card dot deck. So, yeah, that wraps it up for all the blue cards. There are a lot of cards in this set. So I definitely appreciate you guys for sticking around. But we're getting another quick break. Cue the theme music again. And we're going to come back with the black cards. So please join us again.
Why I got to be about black, man? Dang.
We're coming back. We're going to go black and then possibly not come back.